इदं विश्वमोकलीला सृजत्यवत्याति न सज्जतिस्मिन् भूतेषु चन्तारहित आत्मतन्त्र सर्वार्गिकं जिग्रति सद्गुणेश
Spotless is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The prime difference between the Lord and the living entities is that the Lord is the creator and that the living entities are the created. Here He is called the Amogha Lila, which indicates that there is nothing lamentable in His creation. Those who create disturbance in His creation are themselves disturbed. He is transcendental to all material afflictions because He is full with all six opulences, namely wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. And thus He is the master of the senses. He creates these manifested universes in order to reclaim the living beings who are within them suffering threefold miseries, maintains them, and in due course annihilates them without being the least affected by such actions. He is connected with this material creation very superficially, as one smells odor without being contacted with the odorous article. Non-godly elements, therefore, can never approach Him despite all endeavors. Om Avyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dodati Swapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitri Namane Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pricharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Aschatya Deshatarine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha
Kripasindubhya evacha Potitanam bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The Lord, whose activities are spotless, is the master of the six senses, and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is also independent. The Supreme Lord is here addressed by the name Amoghalila. One whose divine pastimes are spotless. Within this material creation, every conditioned soul is subjected to downfall and suffering due to the six defects. And even in the liberated state, no one can really be said to be perfect within this material existence in the sense that there are so many powers, so many conditions that are beyond our control, so many things that we do not know. It is said that every endeavor is covered by some sort of flaw. It is said that one who is engaged in devotional activities, in pure devotional service, is perfect. But that perfection is not due to his own abilities or potent potentials, but because such a humble devotee is offering whatever he does to Krishna, Krishna makes it perfect. Krishna is the source of all perfection, and whatever is purely connected to Krishna becomes perfect. And when we forget a thing's connection to Krishna and use it for some other purpose, that is the cause of all the illusions of imperfection. When Krishna appeared in this world as the son of Devaki Vasudev in Mathura and as Yashoda and Nanda Baba in Vrindavan, Gokul, he appeared to some like an ordinary baby child. He was laying like a helpless infant at the side of Mother Yashoda And when she saw him, she considered that he is my child. I must protect him. I must feed him. I must teach him how to be a good boy, so that his father will be proud of him. Although, just to reveal his transcendental nature, in the prison cell of Mathura, before Krishna appeared like a little tiny baby, first, from the womb of Devaki, he manifested his majestic form of Narayan, holding the conch, the chakra, the shanka, the gada, and the padma, the lotus. Sri Radha Gopinathji ki. Decorated with such beautiful jewelry and garments that are not to be found within this mortal creation. And on the request of Devaki, he became like a little baby child. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and the great Vaishnava Acharyas, who have dived very deeply into the conclusions of the scriptures, have discovered that Krishna simultaneously incarnated in the womb of Devaki and in the womb of Yashoda. The original Krishna, who is Vrindavan Bihari, Govinda, appeared within the womb of Yashoda, along with his sister, Yogamaya. And Vasudev Krishna, Mathuresh, the Lord of Mathura, the king, he appeared within the womb of Devaki. They are the same person, but revealing different transcendental qualities according to the loving relations that he is to have with his particular devotees, who are endowed with particular rasas of love. So, that Lord Narayan, when he spoke to Vasudev, he requested him to bring the baby child that he was about to become to the Gokul Braj residence of Nanda and exchange him for the baby girl child. So as Vasudev carried out this order, imagine the sacrifice. Imagine the depth of the love of Vasudeva for Krishna. Love means the willingness to surrender for the pleasure of the beloved. Love cannot be selfish. When love is selfish, it is called lust. When it is selfless, it is called love. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the difference between love and lust is like the difference between gold and iron. They are both metal, but one is precious and one is worthless. When the affection of our heart selflessly sacrifices itself for the pleasure of Krishna, the only supreme object of the soul's love, that is love. And when that same affectionate nature within our heart wants to selfishly enjoy, either on the gross or subtle level, that is called kama or lust. Vasudev loved Krishna. Therefore, even though 6 children were killed, 1 child appeared to be a miscarriage and was transferred to another womb, and he never got to see that child. When finally the child that they were always longing to love was born, on that very night Krishna said, "You remain here to live in Mathura, but you take me to Gokul, where I will reside." So Vasudev went through great difficulty, through the rains, through the flooding of the Jamuna. But because of his desire to please the Lord, although Krishna puts obstacles in the path of the service of his devotee, he always protects the devotee and makes his service success. Just to glorify that devotee, just to show the unflinching determination of that devotee for others to see and be enriched by, Krishna puts great obstacles in their path. Sometimes devotees, immaturely, they think that Krishna is the supreme controller of everything that exists. He is avijñā and swarat. He can do anything. He's independent. And he knows that this particular service that I'm rendering, it's for him. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it because I have been ordered to do so. So why is he making it so difficult? Why is he allowing so many obstacles to come? He is doing it to give us a chance to be purified, to give us the opportunity to surrender in a more conscious and deep mood of service. So here is Vasudev. Finally, he's seeing the son that he's been waiting for so long. He and his wife, Devaki, through so many heartbreaking experiences, they are finally witnessing the Lord of their life, who they have sacrificed everything for. And instantly he's saying, "I'm leaving you." No one can imagine the motherly affection that Devaki had for child Krishna. But yet, Krishna said, I'm going. Not only am I going, but you are going to take me to where I'm going. So, from Vasudeva's own personal interest, it was probably the most difficult thing he ever did, taking his child away from himself. And yet, there were so many obstacles. The Jamuna was flooded. There were heavy rains. But he was determined. If this is what my beloved wants, this is what I must do. Ananyas chintayantomam yejana pariupashate tesha nitya viyuktanam yogakshemam bhava. For one who surrenders to Krishna, in that service, Krishna protects what we have and he carries what we lack. Ananta Shesha appeared over Vasudeva's head just like an umbrella, so that not even a drop of rain would touch the baby child Gopal. And Kalindi Devi, Jamuna, she also arranged a nice pathway so that wherever Vasudeva would walk, the currents would become very low and very peaceful. When Vasudeva brought little Krishna to Gokul, the transcendental form of the Lord merged into his original source. Because Vasudeva Krishna is an emanation of the original Krishna of Vrajabhumi. Just as it is said in Brahma Samhita, that of all the Vishnus, they are like so many lit candles. But Krishna is the original candle who lights all others. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vrajami. He's the source of everything. Even all the forms of Narayan. So to prove this, Lord Narayan merged into his source of Govinda. In fact, in the Garga Samhita, there is an explanation, a very elaborate explanation, of how before Krishna appeared within this world. Because Krishna appears, you know, at a scheduled time once in a day of Brahma in every universe. And sometimes he appears in a slightly different way than the time before. So on this particular occasion, when the demigods approached Shirodakshaya Vishnu in Svetadvipa, which is the Vaikuntha planet in the on the shore within the ocean of milk in this particular universe, he told them that we should all go to Goloka Vrindavan, and there we should request Krishna to appear in the world, because it is the time when he comes to perform his wonderful pastimes. And then he will also kill this great demon Kamsa and relieve the burden of the demons from Mother Earth. He was appearing like cow. So what they did is the Ganges that was flowing from that little crack. Of course, it's not such a little crack. But that crack that was made by the toe of Lord Vamanadeva when he took the second step. All the demigods, the leading demigods, along with Shirodakshai Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva, and others, they all just started floating upstream through that Ganges, and they went through the crack, through the universe, into the spirit, through the, there they, Mahavishnu also joined them, and then they went beyond the Viraja River, into the spiritual sky, they went by all the Vaikuntha planets, and then they entered the gates of Goloka. And there one of the gopi servants who was guarding Goloka, she greeted them very nicely, and they said, "We want to see Lord Krishna." She said, "Well, who are you?" "We are the, all the great demigods, the devatas, and the the Purusha avatars of the universe." She said, "Which universe?" They were thinking, at least the demigods were thinking, there's only one universe. You know, the universe. She said, "No, there are so many universes. Like mustard seeds in a jar of mustard, in a barrel of mustard seeds." She said, "Did you know? There are so many millions and billions and trillions of Brahmas and Shivas and Indras." So anyways, they were very humbled. And then they were given entrance, and when they came before Krishna, the demigods saw to their surprise that Mahavishnu, Karunadakshaya Vishnu, he just came before Govinda, Vrindavan Bihari, and Mahavishnu's body just merged into his source of Krishna. And then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu came and merged into his source of Krishna. And then Shirodakshaya Vishnu, the source of the Paramatma, the Lord of Svetadvipa, merged into the body of Krishna. And then they saw Lord Nrsingadeva appear, and he also merged into the form of Krishna. And at that time they could realize that Krishna is the source of everything and everyone. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Shada Pashanti Suraya. That all the great saintly persons, their constant meditation is the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. But Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajam. The original Vishnu, the original all auspicious personality of Godhead, is Krishna. So Maturesh, Krishna, at that time, appearing like a little tiny infant child, merged into the body of Gopal, Gokulananda Gopal. And then Vasudev took Yogamaya back to Mathura. Meanwhile, Kamsa, he attempted to kill this little daughter, Yogamaya, but she went into the sky and she proclaimed to him that the son that is meant to kill you has been born and he is somewhere else. And there's nothing you can do. Of course, Kamsa, so desperate, not willing to humbly accept the will of destiny, that he was meant to die at the hands of Krishna, he sent his asuras, his demons, in all directions to murder all babies that had been born anywhere in the recent time when that message came. And they were causing havoc. But in Mahavan Gokul Dham, Mother Yashoda, by the Yogamaya potency, she was so much tired from giving birth. And it was a divine process. She was actually just laying there, tired, and the babies just appeared. It's not that she went through the normal process of labor. But just to make the lila nice, Krishna made her tired, even though she really didn't do what mothers generally do. But she became tired anyway. And she thought she did it, perhaps, but she didn't have to do it. Krishna just appeared. And she forgot that she gave twins. And there was her little baby Gopal. And this is Janmashtami. The next morning, Nandotsava, is where Yashodamai discovered the little child. And they had a wonderful, wonderful festival where they performed the Abhishek. And everyone in Braja was so happy because Nanda Maharaj was without a son for so many years. And he was the king. Brajendra Nandana. Krishna is the son of Brajendra, the king of Braja. So everyone loved the king. And it was the happiest moment of their life when their king gave birth to a prince. Not in a Kshatriya way, but in a Vaishya way. He was not a prince in royalty and opulence, but he was the prince of the cowherd boys, Nandulal. Dulal Chandra. And from Krishna's infancy, in order to increase the Vatsalya Prema, the parental love of Nanda and Yashoda and the other gopis and gopas, he really appeared just like an ordinary baby. He appeared just as helpless and just as playful and mischievous. But there was only one difference. In the Aishwarya Leela of the Lord performs such incredible superhuman activities that no one else could possibly imitate. And for this reason, due to this condition, people must love him and worship him as the God, the Supreme Truth. But in the Madhurya Ras, which means the Ras of Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't necessarily have to do anything extraordinary. He just acts just like anyone else, with one exception: the quality, how he does it, is so attractive, it is so charming, it is so sweet, that it just completely captivates the hearts and fills their very souls with infinite ecstatic love. When Krishna would drink the milk from Mother Yashoda, is that anything extraordinary? Perhaps you drank milk from your mother at one time. What is the difference? The difference is that when Mother Yashoda saw the beauty of Krishna and felt the touch of his hands upon her, she would just be trembling with all these symptoms of ecstatic love. Because Krishna's opulence was not revealed through his powers and his supernatural abilities, but it is through his beauty and the manner in which he attracted everyone's love. You see, in Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, there are no demons. Krishna just appears like a child. But he's just so beautiful. He's just such the... he's Rasaraj. He's Rasavihari. That is his opulence. And when Krishna appears in Vrindavan, the original Govinda doesn't waste time killing demons. In one sense, he does. Every day, demons would come to Braja. But he would assume the role of his own partial expansion through his own form, the partial expansion of Vasudev to kill the demons. Because that is not Krishna Rasa Vihari, the demon killer. When he's appearing with his opulence of sweetness, not power, that is Govinda, in his original, highest, most divinely attractive form. So Krishna would crawl, and he would always be just about to endanger himself through his curiosity. And Mother Yashoda was always running after him to stop him from doing this and stop him from doing that. In this way, she was completely immersed in his loving service. Sometimes he would grab on to the tail of a calf, and then he'd scare the calf, and this calf would start to run, and he would hold on, and he would be getting dragged through all the dust of Vrindavan, and all the gopis would clap their hands and laugh to see how Krishna's having so many nice playful games. But yet, when Krishna appears in Goloka, that's all Krishna does, is these wonderful sweet pastimes. But so that we will not misunderstand him in this world, at times he acts in a very majestic and powerful way. When he was just in his infancy, the great Rakshasi Putana appeared before him. She was a Kepari rich witch. She had the mystic power where she could disguise herself in any form she desired. And she had already killed so many little tiny children. So when she came to the house, Nanda Bhavan, she smeared her breast with very deadly poison. But in her disguise, she looked like a goddess. And no one in the house dared to check her approach. They were thinking that Krishna was going to get some very nice blessing. And she picked him up and placed her breast into his mouth, and he began to suck. First thing he did is he sucked all the poison out. But Krishna, he is transcendental to material nature. He is transcendental to birth or death. You see, poison comes under the modes of material nature. Everything created comes under the modes of material nature. This is important to understand. Tribir gunamayayar bhavaya. Krishna says, I am above the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature cannot even touch me. and yet everything within our creation, this universe, is composed of various mixtures of the three modes of material nature. Your body, your mind, your intelligence, your ego, all of the sense objects, they are all products of the three modes of material nature. And no modes of material nature can approach Krishna. They cannot touch him because he's above it. He's transcendental to it. So how is it that when we offer something to Krishna, that he accepts it? When he can't be touched by anything of the three modes of material nature, how can he accept our offerings? Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta priyashtati. Because when it is offered with devotion, when it is offered with pure devotion is transcendental to the modes of material nature. And that thing, when it is offered with devotion, becomes impregnated with that devotion, and Krishna accepts the devotion in which it is offered. Therefore, we should know that a materialistic person cannot offer anything to Krishna. He has no power. Krishna won't accept it if it's done under the modes of material nature. The only way a conditioned soul can offer anything to Krishna is through an exalted devotee of the Lord, who by whose blessings offers it on our behalf to Krishna, or allows us to offer it on his or her behalf to Krishna. Either one. When we are empowered to offer something to Krishna on behalf of a great devotee of the Lord, then the bhakti of that devotee is in our service. And then it is acceptable by Krishna. So those people who think that they can just serve Krishna according to their own whims without connection to a great sadhu or a spiritual master, they are an illusion. Krishna is not accepting any of their offerings. Because their intelligence, their mind, their feelings, and the thing they're offering are all the three modes of material nature. They're mundane. Krishna is beyond it. So this is why it is so important to serve Krishna through the system of parampara, with humility and devotion. To be the servant of the servant of the servant is factually the only way Krishna will receive our offerings. So after he sucked out the poison, he began to drink her milk. And by drinking her milk, he accepted her as his mother. As his nurse. Through the process of sucking out the poison, he also sucked out all of her material conditionings, all of her envy and lust and greed and pride, all of her anger, all of her viciousness. He sucked out all of her material attachments along with the poison. And then actually she became pure. And then he drank her milk. But to further purify her, he sucked out her life. By sucking her life, it became so painful that she suffered terribly. She again resumed her original demoniac form, 8 miles long, terrible, beastly witch with huge fangs. bulging, protruding eyes and ragged, atrocious hairs. Everything about her was terribly fearful. And Krishna was just, her breast was like a mountain. And Krishna was just like a little baby crawling around on this huge mountain. A monster. And Krishna just continued to drink very nicely until she died. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. And when Krishna when Krishna killed her, he was thinking in his own merciful, unique way. No other incarnation we have seen could be so merciful. He was thinking that, she came to kill me. And generally when I kill demons, they get Suyujya Mukti. They get liberation and merge into the impersonal Brahman. But she came as my mother. So I will give her eternal service in the spiritual world as the assistant of Mother Yashoda, where she can be my nurse, just like my mother. And Putana was elevated to such a pure, liberated position where she was given the eternal loving service of the Lord. So this is Krishna. When he was an infant, he killed the mighty demon Putana. When he was just a small child and he had eaten dirt, Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth and she saw within his mouth the entire universe with all the planets and all the demigods and all the oceans and all the rivers and mountains and all living beings. When he was only 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan Hill, Girivaradhari, with the little finger of his left hand. Krishna is always Krishna. He is completely transcendental, fully omnipotent, with all six opulences. And all of his pastimes are absolutely spotless. It explains here that Krishna is so wonderful that although he's the creator of all the manifested universes, he also maintains them and annihilates them. He is not in the least bit affected. It's completely transcendental. The example is given here that just like you can smell something through fragrance without even directly coming in contact with the object of that fragrance. In the same way, Krishna expands himself into the Purusha avatars, Karanodakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Shirodakshai Vishnu, and they take care of all the affairs within the creation of the material universes. Krishna directly has nothing to do with it. But at the same time, it is the same person. It's Krishna doing it. But he just expands himself so he has nothing to do with what he's doing. It's very inconceivable. And even as these great Vishnus, they never come in contact physically or on any level with the creation that they're creating. Mahavishnu is laying in the Karana ocean, and simply by his glance, he never physically touches any of the material elements that he's creating. It's just from his glance. He creates it all. And Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, when he appears,
how transcendental he is. He desires to have a son. Now, if a father wants to have a son, he needs the help of his wife. Correct? But Lakshmi Devi, she's massaging Garbhodakshayi Vishnu's feet. She's just sitting. She's just sitting, massaging his feet. And Vishnu says, I want a son. And she doesn't have to say, Lakshmi, help. No, she's just massaging. You sit there. Prabhupada explains it like this. She's just sitting there. And from his own navel, a lotus flower is born, and it grows, and upon the whirl of that lotus flower, a son is born, Lord Brahma. Atmabhu, Swayambhu, self-manifest, directly from the Supreme Personality of God. So that Garbhodakshayi Vishnu also, he never touches the modes of material nature. He's completely transcendental. He creates Brahma. And Brahma, through empowering Lord Brahma, all the work is done. Creation. Vishnu maintains, Shiva destroys. Vishnu, the maintainer, he maintains through his divine will. There's no work for him to perform. You know, in this world, if somebody is a big owner of a factory, it's like Vidyananda Prabhu. He's not here. Perhaps, I don't know, he has to do some work in his factory before coming back to celebrate Janmashtami. There's so much work to do. Doing all of his work as a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. But for the Lord, it is another thing. He doesn't maintain one factory. He maintains the entire universe, and he doesn't do any work. He's just sitting in Sveta Dweep, just enjoying. Everything is being maintained simply by his will. Mahavishnu, he creates everything when he's in yoga nidra, correct? Sleeping. He's doing everything while he's asleep. Everything is being maintained. And Shirodakshaya Vishnu, although he's situated within the heart of every living being, he remains, even though he's within your heart, he's in a completely transcendental position. He's not the slightest bit in touch with your body or with material nature. He creates a spiritual abode around him, right within your heart, and he's just watching and waiting and willing to guide you when you so desire. And Krishna, Krishnastu Bhagavan, the Krishna Vrindavan that we are worshipping, Sri Gopinathji, is the source and the full manifested power and potency of all of these great Vishnu incarnations. So we should know the greatness and the glory and the spotless transcendental attributes of Krishna. Today on Janmashtami is the day that we celebrate his appearance in this world. And we also celebrate the wonderful activities that he performed when he was in this world. And how do we celebrate? By remembering them. By remembering Krishna. By remembering how he has revealed himself. And The most wonderful way that Krishna has given us to remember him is to hear his glories, to see his beautiful, wonderful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, to offer loving service to him in the company of his devotees, and to chant his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But we should know that Janmashtami for us is a day of service. We want to take part in wonderful kirtan. We want to take part in wonderful hearing of pravachan. And we want to take part in making this festival a wonderful day for the pleasure of Krishna. And in this great movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as it has been so lovingly and mercifully directed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, it is a movement where we are all assisting Him in preaching the message of Krishna. We do not want to selfishly try to enjoy Krishna for ourselves. But we know that Krishna says in Gita that that devotee is most dear to me who reveals the science of Krishna consciousness to others. So together, this is our mission, to create such an atmosphere to attract so many people to come to see the beauty of Gopinathji, to take his prasad, to take Srila Prabhupada's books and understand the goal of life, to meet devotees. That is our life and soul. Because that is what we can do to please Krishna the most, is reach out to others. And this is a very special, empowered day, Janmashtami, because it is the day that Krishna arranges where almost all classes of men and women, especially here in India, it is their custom to come to a temple of Krishna to receive some sort of blessing. Devotees as well as non-devotees. Srila Prabhupada writes in his Krishna book that on Janmashtami, he says it's like Christmas in America. In America, Christmas is just such a festival that it really isn't very important whether you're a Christian. Everyone celebrates Christmas. Even Jews and Muslims and people who don't even necessarily pay much attention to Jesus Christ, they celebrate Christmas because it's just the culture of America. So Prabhupada explains that people who worship any of the different gods, and even people who are not even of the Hindu nature, even atheists and Muslims, people celebrate Janmashtami. Because it's a glorious festive day. So on this day, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, they are willing to come if we just open our hearts and open our doors for them to see Radha Gopinath. So in this way, this day of Janmashtami is the one day of the year where we have the opportunity to do this most wonderful service of bringing tens and thousands of people to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji and giving all of them the chance to make spiritual progress. So this is how we should make our sacrifice of loving service today, to make this possible, by working very, very hard to make the temple so beautiful. We want to make the temple beautiful for several reasons. First of all, because on Krishna's birthday, he should see everything so beautiful. He should see everything done so meticulously, with so much labor, and done with so much devotion. Just like last night, people were up till very, very late just making these flower arrangements. So many people, till after midnight, and then later, just making little flower arrangements. Someone will say, "Why, you're working so hard, so many days and hours, and the flowers are going to wilt after a day or two anyway." But that is not the idea. The idea is, on this day, even if it takes us centuries to make one nice flower for Krishna to see and be pleased with, that is the perfection of our life. So first of all, we want that everything is so pleasing for the pleasure of Krishna on this day, that he can see with all of his transcendental senses, he can enjoy the atmosphere of the loving offerings of his devotees. And also we want to make all of these elaborate arrangements because it enthuses the devotees. When they see so much bhakti, so much hard work in the service of the Lord, devotees become enthused and their hearts become enlivened. And we want to enthuse and enliven the devotees' hearts, because in enthusing their hearts, we are further giving pleasure to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And the non-devotees, who really don't even believe who Krishna is, they don't even really care so much, they just come because it's the thing to do on Janmashtami. When they come and they see so many elaborate arrangements, when they see the energy, when they experience the energy of so much bhakti, so much devotion, so much work in Krishna's service, that affects their hearts. It actually makes them submissive. So that when they, by the time they come before the Lord, when they see all the beautiful bhakti that's surrounding them, their hearts are in a place where they can gain some appreciation for the beautiful darshan of Lord Sri Krishna. And they'll be submissive to chant his names. And they may also be submissive to take Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's books, and to taste prasad. And they'll see that these devotees, they have done so much, so nice, that they'll appreciate. They'll appreciate the work we've done. And Srila Prabhupada explains, the real beginning of a person's spiritual life is when he appreciates the work of the devotees in devotional service. That appreciation is the beginning of bhakti. When a person comes before the deities and says, "Oh, he's so beautiful," that appreciation is the beginning of his real spiritual life. Or when a person comes and says, "Oh, that garland or that decoration is so beautiful," that is the beginning of his spiritual life. Or this prasad tastes very nice. So thousands upon thousands of people will be benefited, enthused, and appreciative upon seeing what the devotees have done. And this is also most pleasing to the heart of Sri Gopinathji, Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji, on this day of their appearance. So on every level, we are simply giving pleasure to Krishna. So what is required today? That not only should we make beautiful, loving decorations for people to see, and wonderful, wonderful prasad for people to taste, and have beautiful, sweet, melodious kirtans and pravachans for people to hear, and have so many nice, efficient, well-done booths for people to learn, and have nice pujas for Krishna, his enjoyment. But we must also, by displaying the real qualities of a Vaishnava, we must let these people experience what Krishna consciousness is. Not only on Janamastami, but on every day of the year, we should have policy in this temple. Anyone who comes into this abode of Radha Gopinath, they should be careful, cared for, with such attention, with such compassion, and with such love and care. This, more than anything else we do, will make our temple successful in preaching. We should have a format by which anyone who comes, no one is neglected. But they have the personal association of a devotee, and they feel the love and the care of the devotees. We should really try to establish this peace. So today, when people come, just be so kind, be so friendly, be so loving, that people think that, oh, this Krishna must be good.